talked about it.
Okay, now we're ready. All right, the Gemara says there are seven different aspects of tshuva. The Gemara in Yuma says, "Gedoy lo tshuva shemeviyah refu loylam." Tshuva is the greatness of tshuva that brings cure to the world. Gedoy lo tshuva shemagasad kisei hakova. The greatness of tshuva is that it reaches the kisei hakova, the throne of honor of Hashem. That's the second aspect of tshuva. Gedoy lo tshuva shedoyches lo sasa shebetorah. The greatness of tshuva is that it pushes off the negative commandments in the Torah. Gedoy lo tshuva shemekareves es hagula. The greatness of tshuva is that it brings redemption. Gedoy lo tshuva shezdoynos nasa lo shgogos or kischuyos. Greatness of tshuva is that it brings a person into a situation that his averus actually, if he did them, even if he did them b'mezid, at least they turned into shogeg. Even if he did them intentionally, it could be that it turns it into unintentional sins through tshuva, or even better, it turns it into mitzvahs. Gedoy lo tshuva shemarechetz yomav u'shnosav shel adam. How great is tshuva that it lengthens the days and years of a human, of a person who does tshuva. Gedoy lo tshuva shebishvil yochid she'osa tshuva moichlin lo yilochol olam kulei. The greatness of tshuva is that it's a person, one person could do tshuva, and because of his tshuva, he is forgiven, and the whole world is forgiven in addition to him. These are the seven aspects of tshuva that the Gemara says in Yuma, and this is the full cycle of tshuva, the full panoramic view of tshuva. Of all the things that tshuva accomplishes are in these seven different aspects of tshuva. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen, he wrote a whole sefer on this. Basically, almost came out the whole sefer on this Maimer Chazal, on this piece in the Chazal. And we'll try and go through some of the different aspects of tshuva that the Chachamim were speaking about and explain. So we'll start with the first level. Gedoy lo tshuva shemeviyah refuah l'olam. How great is tshuva that it brings cure, remedy to the world, l'olam, to the. Obviously here means the whole world, not just to the person who's doing tshuva. Shemavir refua la'olam. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains that, what does it mean refua? Like if you have a cold, you get cured of your cold? If you do tshuva, you get cured of your cold? Huh? Or, you guy's got a stomachache, he does tshuva. Stomachache goes away? Huh? The guy's got nebuchadnezzar, sitting in the hospital, he's got a severe disease, he's ill. Got a malain or some kind of growth or something. Does tshuva goes away? Not so sure about that, huh? How are you not so sure about?
I mean, not physically, but it helps. Huh? It helps mentally if you get close to a
shem. Says refuah here. Says refuah. Says refuah. The Gemara says refuah. So refuah doesn't mean refuah saguf. It means refuah sanefesh. Like the Rambam says in Hilchos Deyos, that every problem that a person has with his conduct creates a machla, creates a disease in the nefesh. There's spoiled food which makes the body sick, and there's spoiled conduct which makes the neshama sick. The sick neshama will produce eventually a sick body. So the nefesh achaim, Rav Chaim Vital in the Shaar Kedusha explains that every physical ailment, it's rooted in a spiritual ailment, in the neshama. Something's wrong with the neshama, and since something's wrong with the neshama, it cannot give. The neshama is the life force. It's the Ruach Chaim. It's the force of life that's in the body. Without a neshama, the body is just as good as a piece that is, you go in the butcher shop and buy a steak. It's a piece of flesh. Not even good flesh. Right? No life in it at all. So the life that brings the physical life to the body, the force that gives the physical life to the body is the neshama. When the neshama leaves, the body is nothing. It has no physical sustenance to the body. It rots away and turns it into fertilizer. Right? Yeah. So the neshama gives us. If there's something wrong with the neshama, it's not everything or nothing. It could be a constriction. If a person has a constriction of his arteries, so the blood doesn't flow properly, it doesn't die right away, chas v'shalom. He could live a long time like that. He could take blood thinners, he could get himself an angioplasty and get his veins widened open. It doesn't kill him right away, chas v'shalom. And he might get cured from it also. So, but there's a restriction, there's a constriction in his blood flow. So too, if part of the neshama is not working properly, there'll be a constriction in the life force that the body gets, and the body will get sick. Eventually the body will get sick. That's why before there was chet of other Marishan, so it was possible a person could live forever, because why should they die? The neshama is eternal, and if it's nothing wrong with the neshama, it'll give eternal life to the body also. Push it. Right. So any chet creates machos ha-nefesh. Any chet creates a constriction, a problem, we'll call it a physical problem. There's a physical ailment in the neshama through chet, because of chet. And that will present itself eventually in some way physically also, if a person doesn't take care of it. So the Gemara says, G'doy lo tshuva shemevir refu loylam. How great is tshuva that it brings cure, it brings remedy to the world. It can cure the problem in the neshama. There was a chet, and the person did tshuva, and now you get an antibiotic, and you take the antibiotic, and then you're better. The infection goes away. Right? It's gone. That's the pshat, gedoy le tshuva. How does that work? When a person does tshuva, so Hashem forgives him. The chet, a person violated Hashem's will, and the rectification of the chet is, Rebbeinu Shem says, okay, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm moichel. He forgives us for doing the chet. So when Hashem forgives us for doing the chet, the tzaddik, immediately there's refuah. Immediately Rebbeinu Shem is soleach, he forgives, and mikan lahaba, from this moment on, you don't have that chet anymore. Doesn't fix up the past. You were still sick. You know, I had a bunch of us, right? Had food poisoning, right? Feel okay, not more or less today. But I was still sick. You can't undo the fact that I was sick. I missed, whatever, 5-6 days in yeshiva. You can't turn the clock back and say, I wasn't sick. I was sick. But now I'm not sick anymore. Right? So a person who did chet, he was sick. So he got a slicha. When Hashem forgave him, he's not sick anymore. But it doesn't mean he wasn't sick. He was sick. Doesn't the basic level of tshuva is a cure mikanu lahaba, from this moment on. From this moment on, I'm safe from this chet. I still have a history. There's still a record. I still got a record in the police department there, right? But right now I'm clean. But I got a record, right? And having the record means something, yeah.
Some does a chet and does tshuva, and then 10 to 20 years, is he going to be judged on the same chet even though he did tshuva?
Could be. But that's another topic. Why that is? We'll see them all. We'll see maybe later. Remind me later on. So that's the first level of tshuva. Like the Gemara says in Kiddushin, a person goes up, a person who is a terrible Jew, and he goes up to a woman and he says, he gives her the money for the Kiddushin. The ring, he says, Hareyad mekudeshes li b'tabaz zu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael amanash ani tzadikom. I'm asking you to be betrothed to me. In the whole Kiddushin is conditional upon me being a complete tzaddik. The guy's a mafioso. He's a drug addict. He's an adulterer. He eats at McDonald's. He drives his car on Shabbos. He lends money with interest. What we would call a shagetz, right? And he goes up to a woman, and he's got chutzpah too. He says, "Are I'm a kedushas li? I'm an ashani tzadik gomer. I'm a kedushas tzadik gomer." Everyone knows he's a Russia gomer. not a tzaddik gomer the rush, but he makes such a condition. So what do you say? He's a pathological liar, and the kiddushin is no good. So the Gemara says, no, it's a good kiddushin. Why? Because maybe when he gave over the money, he was maharer tshuva belipa. He was in his heart. He was regretting his sins. So what? So what if maybe he was regretting his sins in his heart? So what? Does that make him a tzaddik? His condition was harei al mekudeshes li amanash ani tzaddik gomer. Under the condition that I'm a complete tzaddik, amanash ani tzaddik gomer. Under the condition I'm a complete tzaddik. How could it be amanash ani tzaddik gomer? If he says I'm not, that I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better. I'm not so bad. I'll be better. Someday I'll be better. Right? Here. Almanasha nitzadik. It doesn't say tzadik. Almanasha nitzadik. That gives over the money. All right, it's not tzadik. But it's a tzadik. I give a mekadesh, a woman, under the condition that I'm a tzadik. Afilu rosha gomor. Even if he's a Russia, a complete Russia. What does it mean, complete Russia? I don't know, but he's a few of the Ten Commandments, he's not fulfilling, that's for sure. He's a Russia Gomer, right? Not just got one thing problem with him. Mekudesh is a good condition. Shema hira tshuva bedaita. Maybe he was thinking in his mind, he was thinking of doing tshuva.
Just to verbalize it?
Huh?
The tshuva has to be done aloud.
Doesn't say that. That's a good question, but that doesn't say like that in the Gemara. So from here we deduce, says Rabsadeh, here we deduce that even a person who just thinks about doing tshuva, Hashem completely forgives him. Because his condition was Amanash ani tzadik. And the condition that I'm a tzadik. He didn't say on the condition that I'm better. On the condition that I improve my performance, I'm asking a tzaddik. And he didn't do anything in the meantime to show that he's a tzaddik. But nevertheless, the kiddushin is a good kiddushin because we're concerned that we're allowed to suspect that he did tshuva in his heart. He did tshuva. We're allowed to suspect that he did tshuva in his heart. Yeah. So so we see from here, says Reb Tzadok, that even a machshava of tshuva, a thought of tshuva, brings slicha, brings forgiveness, and once Hashem forgives a person, from that moment on, he's a tzaddik. Right? I'm not a rush anymore, not a rush of gomer, because I'm not doing these sins anymore, and Hashem forgave me, He forgave me. For what I did. Now I'm clean. Yeah.
In general, a lot of Hashem claimed they're good people, and a good person is very humble. He doesn't regular things like that. So
who claims they're a good person?
A Russia usually claims he's a good person.
Yeah.
How much I do.
Yeah.
Is very humble. He doesn't go around bragging how good he is, because he doesn't see how his actions are.
Yeah. So therefore.
If Russia says he's a good person, it's not valid. It's all shit or anything else. So who's going to believe him?
So he's asking Kasha on the Gemara that we shouldn't believe him.
I don't believe him.
But the Gemara says not like that. What can I do? The Gemara says you're wrong. The Gemara says, if he says, if a person comes and says, I'm giving this kiddushin under the condition that I'm a tzaddik, so we suspect that it's true. That's the power of truth. What?
The woman also accepts
Susan. Maybe she also has a checkered past. I don't know, but she accepts the kiddushin.
She
understands. She came. She understood this Gemara.
So then when
she understood that you get slicha completely.
There's got to be something in the exchange of the money. It's like exchange for like the redeeming of the firstborn and you get the money, you get the lady.
You
know, but it's like you give when he gives his money over, it's like he's giving over like, you know, piece of his soul or something like that.
That's part of the kapara. Yeah, when he gives over his money, he only has to give one pruta, he gives over a nickel or something.
Yeah, so when he gives a Rosh Hashanah, that's all his money.
So it's a refuah, says Rav Tzadok, but it's not a refuah, it's not a remedy, it's not a cure. To the extent that it's like you were never sick. It's not a cure to the extent that you said you were never a sinner. I sinned. I sinned, and it's in my record. But I don't have to worry right now that Hashem doesn't forgive me, and by in fact, He for sure forgives me, and by forgiving me, I'm clean of the disease. Clean of the disease. So he likens it to a convert. Right? The Gemara says that a convert is like a new creation. A guy could be 80 years old, 90 years old, and converts. It's like a cotton shenoyla. It's like a little baby. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. It's like a little baby who's born. Clean slate. Absolute clean slate. So about tshuva, person does tshuva for his chet. So he says it's like a gear. It's not worse than a gear, that the gear, no matter where he's starting from, but from this point on, he's okay. Right? So, but the Rosh says, but let's look at a ger for a moment. A ger, you can't say he was never a goy, he was once a goy. Right? So too, a person did a chet. You can't say he never did a chet, you did a chet. Right? So what does that mean that I once did a chet? We're gonna talk about that in a moment. All right, let's talk about it now. So David HaMelech did a few things that were considered for his level of Kedusha inappropriate. The most famous one is he took Bathsheba, he sent her husband out to war and make sure the general put him on the front line. Right? Make sure he's on the front line. Right? Obviously, if anybody who's on the front line is much more likely to get killed than somebody who's in the back. So David HaMelech brought about the death of Uriah and then he took Bathsheba. So what was that's the way a king should conduct himself. It was considered a chet. For David HaMelech, it was considered a chet, even though, technically speaking, he didn't do any chet. Technically speaking, he didn't do a chet, because she was, the Gemara says, already she was already divorced, because Uriah left a get for her. Anyway, but technically speaking, he didn't do a chet, but it wasn't appropriate. So he realized that. The Novi came and told him that it was inappropriate what you did, and you're going to suffer from it, and Hashem is going to punish you, and David started doing what we call big time tshuva, right? David started doing big time tshuva, tshuva gedolah, right? David was making olo shel tshuva. He really was the one who established in the world the power of tshuva for all of us by his tremendous tshuva that he did with his fasting and his tehillim and his charotas, his biduim, his confessions. And David HaMelech was always confessing over his sins, and he did tremendous, tremendous tshuva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted his tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted his tshuva and was moichel him. He says, the oven of Bathsheba, Hashem was moichel you, but David was mispala, he wanted it to be considered as if he never sinned. Such a level of tshuva that it's as if he never did the sin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, that level of tshuva you will receive, but not in your lifetime. Which is a whole other question now. What good is it going to do him after he dies? But in his lifetime, David HaMelech was not granted that request, that it was considered as if he never sinned. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely forgave him. It's nothing to worry about anymore. The sin of Bathsheba, it was forgiven. Now, the Gemara says, however, though, when David HaMelech said that if he would tear his skin out, it wouldn't bleed. Why is it if he would tear his skin out, it wouldn't bleed? He says, because they used to. There were other, you know, the other Talmidei Chachamim of the generation used to make fun of David. Big king, big tzaddik, yeah, whatever, Bathsheba. They would always remind him about what he did with Bathsheba. They were not, how should I say, they weren't gentle in their relating to David. He had a lot of enemies. David had a lot of jealous enemies. So they used to ask him, like in a very cunning, sly, hurtful way, David, they used to go and see David was learning in the Beis Midrash. Say, David, what's the punishment of one who commits adultery? All the time he said, hey, what's the punishment for adultery, David? So David would answer, he says, Chayav Misa. He'd answer. He said, one who commits adultery is Chayav Misa. He has to put to death. But he has a portion in the world to come. But one who humiliates, who embarrasses his friend publicly, has no chelik lo yechaver. Dovid would get in the last word. But Dovid HaMelech says, you don't think it didn't hurt? It hurt. It hurt when they said it. And he used to turn white. As a malvin pnei chaveiro. When a person gets humiliated, so the Gemara says, well, first of all, that happens, there's some rush of, you know, a person gets embarrassed, there's a rush of blood to the head. And then it sinks in. How this works physiologically, I don't know exactly. But after the person is in the initial embarrassment, the blood just like gets sucked into your flesh, and you turn white. Person mamish turns white when he's embarrassed. The Gemara calls that. That's why it's called halbonas pani, whitening a person's face. If you humiliate somebody, you whiten his face. It says when that face is whitened, what's happening is the blood is somehow getting sucked into the deeper tissues or into the muscles or whatever, and it's leaving the place of the outer of the skin. So that's why the person turns white. So the blood is the life source of the body. Without blood, a person could live. You do an oil change. You're going to take your blood out, put in water. Nothing's going to help, right? You need blood. Blood, the dam hua nefesh, the life source of every human being is in the blood. So if you cause that person's blood to be removed from the place where it was removed, it's like he killed him. That place is losing its source of life, even momentarily, but it's like he killed him. But David Melch says he suffered so much from Halbona's punning. His enemies used to constantly humiliate him and embarrass him publicly. He says so much that the blood sunk into his body so deep that his skin didn't bleed anymore. There was almost no blood left in his skin, because he was humiliated to such a high degree, and so often there was almost no blood left in his skin. So Reb Tzadok points out that why should a person be hurt about something that he did in the past? The only reason a person feels hurt about it is if it's still somehow in you. If it's not in you at all anymore. So somebody comes and says, I know you used to have two heads. No, you used to have two heads. Come on. You were so freaky, you had two heads. I'm not insulted at all. It doesn't hurt me at all, because it's nice guy. I never had two heads. I only had one head. So if you insult somebody, you can only insult him if the thing that's being said has some grain of truth in it. If there really is something to be, what, maybe it's exaggerated, maybe it's not true anymore, but something is there. So then a person will feel hurt. A person may feel hurt if you say something that on some level he's still connected to it. Maybe deep inside, maybe got over it, but something is still left. If there's nothing at all left, so you come and tell me, is that right? I know you're a direct descendant of, I don't know, of Muhammad. I don't know. It's not guy. No, it's not true. Yeah. You know, I'm not a direct descendant of Muhammad. Your Zayda was Muhammad. I don't know. you could tell me that all day. It doesn't affect me, right? But if you tell me, hey, Rabbi Shua, I know that you once got angry and lost your temper. So that might embarrass you. Because even if I did get over all my anger, which I haven't, but even if I did get over my anger, there's still something in me which could bring me to anger. So it hurts, because I know I was angry. I know that once I got angry. And it's still inside of me. Right? That's the difference between completely uprooting the past, and the past is just taken care of from now on. Right? It's like maybe like an alcoholic. I never understood the shot. What is an alcoholic? He's always an alcoholic. Why is he always an alcoholic? He hasn't drunk. He hasn't had a drink for 30 years. He's still an alcoholic. Why is he still an alcoholic? Why is he still an alcoholic? Because if he drinks again, the whole thing's going to come back. That's the shot. He's still an alcoholic. I mean, there's something in him that the potential to go exactly back, to go back to the exact same problem with the same intensity is one sip away. Just one sip away. He doesn't have to go through the whole process again of habitualizing himself, of drinking and getting into bad living habits. One drink. There was a fellow who came to me here, right outside this door, right outside, down on the path here. Fellow came to me and said, Rabbi, This person needs your help. What's his story? He's a Baal Tshuva, some Baal Tshuva. And he was a drug addict in his previous, you know, lifetime. He was a drug addict, but I guess a serious one. But he had been clean for years. He went through rehabilitation. He'd been clean for years. Says all of a sudden he went back to his ways. He's married with a child. The wife came here. The wife was outside here with the baby. Right. The husband is back. He's back on drugs. I said, what happened? He's been clean for years. He's married. He has a child. What was it? The tippet? What could have driven him to drugs? And she seemed like a fine woman. It wasn't like she drove him to drugs. What could be the problem? So I said, what caused it? So it's very simple. He was walking near through a park somewhere in Israel, recently, whatever. So I said, 6 months ago, 8 months ago. And said, he saw like a 70-year-old man who was injecting himself with drugs. I don't know what the drugs were, but he was injecting himself with drugs. And he couldn't believe it. The guy's over 70 years old. And he's still using drugs. Went up, we're up to him. Yeah, he's still alive. He went up to him and he said, oh, he says, what are you doing? He says, he's using drugs. He says, how old are you? He says, what, 70 plus? He says, wow, unbelievable. And he went home and he did drugs. He started up on his drugs again. And he immediately was hooked on drugs again. So why? What did he see? He says, look, like you said, he says, a person can be a drug addict and you live a long life. He thought until now that you're going to die when you're 30 or 40. And here he sees a guy in his 70s. The guy looks like completely normal. And he went back. It's still in him, right? As long as he wasn't doing drugs, he was cured. But the past wasn't removed. He was still a drug addict, right? So a person who does chet, you could do tshuva and you could correct the future, but you didn't take out your past yet. You didn't deal with the past, and therefore, that's why a person could still feel hurt when you remind him of the chetoyim that he used to do, because it's still in us. If it wouldn't be in us at all, it would be like someone coming to us, you used to have two heads. It wouldn't make any impression on us at all.
But it's possible to move on to that?
Well, you're already jumping to the end. You're going to jump to the next level. You're asking me, there's a fellow can run a mile in three minutes and 50 seconds. But you and I are not going to do it. We might do it 6, 7, 8 minutes or something, but you and I are not going to do it. Could we do it someday? Yeah, that's a shame. If we work hard, we could do less than 4 minute mile. But you can't walk until you crawl, right? You can't reach the highest levels in anything right away in a safe way. You could do it in a way that could kill you, which you're probably not interested in, right? The people who killed themselves actually didn't commit suicide, but brought themselves to such inner turmoil to reach this level that they died. So we probably don't want to go that route, right? We probably want to go the steady and safe route, right? So the first level is Maharat Tshuva Beliva. The first level, not the Alpi Alofa, applies also. The first level of Tshuva is Charata. A person has to regret what he did. We regret what we did. Levovo Yovin Vishov. The Pasuk is that in your heart you understand you did the wrong thing. And you return to Hashem. You ask for mechila. You ask for forgiveness, and the Rebbeinu Shem will, out of chesed, will forgive. The midas chesed, Hashem will forgive us, even if we just think to do tshuva, even if we just think charata, we regret what we did. I'm sorry, Hashem. I'm not going to do it again. Like the alcoholic. I'm sorry. I regret having. I'm not going to drink again. You bring a nice single malt under his nose, and we'll see what happens to his. That's why he's not supposed to walk into a place where he's being tested, right? Like a diabetic in a candy shop. Don't go into the candy shop. What are you doing going into the candy shop? Don't be around temptation because it's still in you, right? But right now you're cured. Right now you're not suffering from alcohol. You're not suffering from drugs. you're not suffering from whatever the sin is you were suffering from, whether it be Shemir Sainayim or whatever it was, or Lashon Hara or Gaiva or whatever a person is doing tshuva for. You're not suffering from it right now, but you have to be careful because it's still in you. It's still inside of us. The chet is still the roshan, the on some level it's still in there. Some level, very deep, very hidden, but on some level it's still there. So the Gemara says a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says what we find, it's not uncommon to see, Shmuel Meser Hashem, this is the, you'll have a gewaldige life, but it's not uncommon to see that Gerim have a hard life. The Gerim have a very hard life. Hard life, either physically, emotionally, economically, it's often, one often sees that. Right? There were Gerim who were very rich also, but it's not uncommon to see. The Gemara says, the Gemara says, why do they seem to have a hard life? So the Gemara says a few different reasons. So the Gemara says, good. So one reason the Gemara says is because they didn't come into Yiddishkeit quick enough. In other words, there was a whole period of time where they weren't, the Gemara says, Shishiu Atzmam, they delayed coming into the Shechinim. They Shishiu Atzmam, They held themselves back before they came to the Shechina to become a Yid. So now they could have come earlier, it seems, but they didn't. And because they didn't, so for that would explain, the Gemara says, why sometimes a Ger has a hard life. That's one opinion in the Gemara. So this seems to contradict, says Rav Tzadok, the Gemara that says a Ger is like a little baby who was born. What's the difference? Right, he waited till now, but the minute he becomes a ger, he's a new person. He's like a little baby who was born. So it's true. He's like a little baby who was born, but he wasn't born a Yid. Bottom line is he wasn't born a Yid. Now the question: why wasn't he born a Yid? Why not? So here he even asks more right here. The Gemara says that the reason sometimes Gerim suffer because they waited till they came into Klal Yisrael. So they waited longer than maybe was necessary. That's what it seems. So what about a little child who was right after he was born, who became a Ger? Why should such a child have a bad life? So Tzadik says the Gemara doesn't mean that they waited for the Geris. That's not what it means. It means that they put off the Ger. It means that was their peace in the world. Nobody asked your neshama, right? Shmuel, hey, so you want to be born a Yid or a Goy? Right? Nobody asked you, right? Nobody asked you. As far as you can remember, nobody asked you, right? Right? Everyone asked. The Rebbe Hashem creates neshamas, and he goes, this neshama is going to be a Ger, and this neshama is going to be born a Yid. Why is it like that? We don't have any reason why. We don't have any understanding. Hashem has reasons why. We don't understand why. But there are neshamas of Gerim, and there are neshamas of Yid. Like the Gemara says, the neshamas of the Gerim, they were also at Har Sinai. The Shamas of the game were also at Har Sinai. They said Nasav and Nishma also. So he says, what's the difference? He says, the difference is the Rebbe Hashem wanted this Neshama to be born a Goy and then to become a Yid, and this Neshama to be born a Yid. There's a difference. Right? This is a Neshama that part of its life, it was destined not to be Jewish. Destined to be a bit farther away from the Shechina. So if you're removed from the Shechina, at any level, if you're removed from the Shechina, you're going to suffer. Just like to the extent that our neshama, it permeates all of our body, we are alive. The neshama gives life to all our body. And if there's an obstruction, the body suffers from it on some level. So too, to the extent that a person is connected to the Shechina, we prosper. And to the extent that we're disconnected from the Shechina, we have problems. So a ger is brought into the world, whether he likes it or not, a real ger is whether he likes it, nobody asked him, he's brought in the world a part of his life. He wasn't connected to the Shechina. And that was part of his destiny in the world. Not because something he did wrong. That's his destiny. Eov did anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong, but he suffered terribly. Why? That was his destiny. That's what the girl learns. That was Eov's destiny, was to suffer in the world. That's what Hashem created him for. You're created for suffering. Finish. You like the job. You don't like the job. This is the job. Now, either like it and get reward for it, or don't like it and you'll have to do it over again. Right? That's free choice, right? How to relate to suffering is a free choice. It's not nigzer on a person how he should relate to suffering. Suffering may be nigzer, chas v'shalom. But how you relate to the suffering is not an exit. That's not part of the gzera, how you relate to the suffering. He could be makabel b'simcha b'yahava, and he could justify the din, or a chas v'shalom, he could be boit, he could kick and rebel. That's not minas shamayim. That's the person's own decision. So everyone has a different destiny. The ger's destiny is that he comes into this world, part of his life is not a Jew. That's his destiny. Why? You don't like it? You know what? Too bad. That's the very destiny that Rebbeinu Shem gave for such a person. Why? We don't know. That's Cheshbonus and Shemayim. So says the Zerb Tzadok, so the ger also, that's why there's a prohibition to tell the ger, hey, I remember when you used to do this, and you used to do that, and you used to do this, and you used to do that. It's a niser. That's called a nor. That's called insulting. That's humiliating, embarrassing. You're not allowed to say it to ger. Why not, says Zerb Tzadok? Because it was true. You can't deny the person, part of his life was not Jewish. So a person gets upset, can get hurt by the things that are true. If something's not true at all, you can't get hurt by it. Right? You just, it's a ridiculous thing to say. So tshuva, the first madrega tshuva, says something is like that also. You did what you did. Nobody can take it away. You did what you did. You were over on the avera. It's history. It's on your record. It's there. You're not suffering from it anymore. A ger, he's not a goy anymore. He's a kid. He gets up, boy, makes the bracha. Bracha Hashem shalos ani goy, right? Makes the same bracha as everybody else. But part of his life wasn't. It's just from this point on, he's a different person. He's a new person. But the past is still part of his past. And the past of all of us is still part of our existence right now, even after we do the first level of tshuva. And that's why a person never can rely 100%, I did tshuva already. Are you saying, I did tshuva, I'm finished. I don't have to worry about it anymore. No, because still inside of us, we've got a record. We've got a record, and that record on some level makes an impression on us, and it can come out again. It can come out again, and that's why it's possible to do new levels of tshuva the more a person elevates himself in his Torah and Yir Shamayim. Now he understands on a different level, retroactively, what he did. He understands it from a different perspective now because he's on a higher level. It's like you're on ground one of a building and you look at the view. And then you go on ground two and the view looks a little bit different. You go all the way to the top floor. He says, now I really see the view. Now I really see what this place looks like. Person rises in his own Yerushalayim, in his own Emunah and Bitachon and closeness to Hashem. And now you really realize what the chet was. So you got to do tshuva again and again and again because it's still there. On some level, it's still there when our tshuva is the first level, the first entry level tshuva, which is Hashem, I really regret. You don't even have to say it. I really regret what I did. I'm sorry I didn't. I'm not going to do it again. It's a tzaddik. You're a tzaddik. We'll be grounded. All of I would all be tzaddikim. That's a tzaddik. That's already a tzaddik. Hashem forgives us, and we're on our way to a new life. Of course, we have that. That's why Baal Tshuva also is just like a ger. You're not supposed to tell a ger, hey, I remember when you did it. I remember I remember when you used to bow to the idols. I remember when you were like the biggest. You are the most frum avodah zarah, avodah zarah in the world. You used to do such a jig in front of that idol. and karbonis, you brought such beautiful karbonis to the idol there. Unbelievable, right? You're not allowed to say that. It insults the person. So to a baal tshuva, the same thing. It was lo yoma le baal tshuva. I remember when you used to. I remember when you used to eat this. I remember you used to do that. And he said, same thing. That's what Rebbe says. You see the parallel in Chazal. Just like you can't tell the ger, I remember when you used to act like a goy. You can't tell about tshuva. I remember when you used to do averus. Because in both of them, the past is still there. It's part of your life. You can't deny it. It's part of your life. The next, the highest level of tshuva, where the past is uprooted, is impossible to understand. I mean, we'll try and understand it, Mirz Hashem, as we go along. But al piseichel, it's not shy. It's not possible to say al piseichel logic that a person could remove his past like it didn't exist. That's the chiddush of the Torah in tshuva. The Torah is mechadish such a thing that a person could change the past. That al piseichel person, no psychology or any way of thinking or logic could create such a reality that your past doesn't exist anymore. You might be able to relate to your past differently, you might be able to understand your past differently, but to uproot it and change it and flip it around, that it becomes a mitzvah, it becomes a veira, that's what the Gemara says, where the shalu, the chokhmah, a nefesh, a choytas, nefesh achotis madina. What's the din of a nefesh that sins? So shalu l'chokma, they ask the attribute of wisdom. Says toes, let it die. Let a person die. A person who sins. The Baruch Hashem gives us life. And he says, do this and don't do this. Yeah, I'm giving you life. I'm giving you your body. I'm giving you your neshama. Just don't do this. Yeah, you get a job. And the boss says, you know, do this, don't do this, right? Work from 9 to 5. He says, don't take any money out of the vault, because if you take money out of the vault, you'd be considered like a thief, and we'll have to fire you. So the Benishim brings it into the world and says, don't take something that doesn't belong to you. Don't do something that you don't have rishus to do. And if not, then you're fired. That's what the Chokhmah said. Chokhmah answered, I'll be Chokhmah logic. Never shechetus, he summons. Somebody's sin should die. Logic. Yeah, makes perfect sense. Shalu l'tera. So they ask the Torah, what's the deen of a chote? What's the deen of somebody's sins? And it says, Yovi Kovim v'iskaper. Says you could bring a korban. You could bring a sacrifice. You could bring a sacrifice. Says, that's only good if you were showing you. What about a mazi? If somebody did intentional. There's no in the Torah. There's no korbanos that come for somebody an intentional sin. Only for unintentional sins. Fafama tovus. You should die also. Shalul HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They ask the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, somebody who sins, Yaseh Tshuva, should do Tshuva, and the Baruch Hu will end the year for you, and he'll live. He should do Tshuva and he'll live. So that was even the Torah, even the way we understand Torah doesn't work, Tshuva. But it had to come to the highest level, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had to, there's a new level of Tshuva, that there's a new thing in the world called Tshuva, and it can change the whole world. But we're not there yet. We're really far, very far from that level of tshuva. We have to understand all the what leads to tshuva first. So the first person who introduced us to, who brought into the world the ability to do tshuva as individuals and to see how it works and to tap into that force was David HaMelech. David HaMelech, who did the, like, it's from the Gimel Averis, it's from the three worst Averis, it's like he did adultery. So he did Shuvah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave him. The Gemara says, what was the roots? Where did David HaMelech come from? Heichon Motzosi. Where did Hashem find him? In Sdom. Why in Sdom? Because when Lot was in Sdom, and Hashem wanted to destroy Sdom, so he left with his daughters. And his daughters had incest with him, and eventually from that came Rus HaMoavia, Rus, the Moabite, who was the grandmother, the great-grandmother of David HaMelech. So the roots of David go back to stone. That's the pedigree of David HaMelech is stone. That's his pedigree. That's where his roots are. So the Lot is he's the progenitor. Lot is the progenitor of David. Lot is from the Mishpacha of Abraham. Lot was the greatest Talmud till Eliezer. And then Avraham, Lot was the greatest Talmud of Avraham Avinu. Besides being his nephew, Lot was the greatest tzaddik until he went off to Derech. But Lot was the greatest tzaddik. So the roots, the Chazal are telling us, the roots of David are from Avraham Avinu. The roots of David are from Avraham Avinu. The greatness of David is a genetic outgrowth of Avraham Avinu. Both the physical genetics and the spiritual genetics. He is the progeny of Avraham Avinu. That's David HaMelech. The roots of David are in Avraham Avinu. And we know Avraham Avinu was the, what the Gemara calls, he was the first ger. Avraham Avinu was the first ger. Tchilo legerim. He was the first of those to convert. Because he was born to Terach. Terach was, big Avodah Zorah. He was one of the biggest manufacturers of Avodah Zorah in the Middle East. Probably the biggest. Right? And Avraham Avinu was a partner in the business. Right? He did the Avodah Zorah to everything. Did all the Avodah Zorahs, went to church, did what he was supposed to do, ate the wafers, did the whole business, right? He did the whole thing. till he was, what's the Shaila in the Gemara, when in Chazal, when he was 40 years old, when he exactly knew, 3 years old, 40 years old, whenever at some point in his life he recognized this is not the right thing to do and he left it. Some say he recognized when he was 3, but he just conducted himself like an Ovid of Orzor till he was 40. When he was 40, then he broke away completely. Whatever the pshat is, there was a period in his life that he was doing a Avodah Zorah. So he was worried. Avraham Avinu was worried his for a long time that Hashem was going to punish him for all those years of doing a Avodah Zorah. So after Yitzchak was born, he promised him, he told him, you don't have to worry about that anymore. But Avraham Avinu was worried about it. And that was a good part of his life, 100 years, that he worried about it. 100 years, till Yitzchak was born, 100 years, right? 100 years he worried. He had been changing the face of the world, right? Avraham Avinu was thousands and thousands of people taking them away from Avodah Zorah, and he was still worried that Hashem was going to punish him for the years that he did Avodah Zorah. It's just a dugma, an example of how we have to realize how it's tshuva is gevaldig and tshuva is easy, but there are madregas in tshuva, right? The first level is easy. Who doesn't regret what he did? That's easy. And Hashem's just slicha v'kapora, the person is wiped clean for the future. Fine. That level is easy. Says, but we want to take it more. We don't want to be alcoholics our whole lives. Right? And we don't want to come to Olam Haba with a checkered past, with a record. We want to come, we want higher madrigas. But let's first understand, to get there, we got to go through the process. So David's roots of David and Avraham Avinu, who's Tchilo Legerim, he's the first Ger. He's the first person to come into the world and change himself to a tzaddik. From Russia to tzaddik. Noach didn't do that. Noach was born a tzaddik, and he's remained a tzaddik. Right? But Avraham Avinu was born into a wicked family. And he turned himself, and not only himself, but other wicked people into tzaddikim. He was the Tchil Legerim. He was the first of the Gerim. Right? So he was worried. Okay, now he's okay. But what do I do? 100 years of my life. 100 years. No, he lived 175, right? I think it was 175. Majority of his life is the Chas V'Shalom is going to be, write it off? Nothing? Blank? Fill in. Because I'm going to say, what have you done with your life? Please, each decade, fill in every day. So, 10 decades, you've got to write a blank. He's worried, Chas V'Shalom, that maybe he's going to be punished for what he did in the past. So when Yitzchak was born, he told him, no, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that because the truth is, Bereishis Bara Elokim, when the Rebbeinu Shem created the world, he created the world for Yisroel, and it also says, B'yom, Ela told us, Hashemayim V'Oretz, B'yom Hi Borom. These are the events of the creation of the world, Behiborom, as they were created, the Chazal Al Tikro Behiborom, Ela Ba'Avraham. It's the same letter as Avraham. The Benisham created the world, Vizchus Avraham. Not only created the Vizchus Avraham, but Avraham's Neshama was the Ark Neshama of the whole world. That was Avraham Avinu's Neshama, was the Neshama. That everything was based on, that the whole world was based on, was Avraham Avinu's neshama. So when Yitzchak was born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, you have nothing to worry about your past, because your neshama is so high that it supersedes the past. Your neshama is so high that your tshuva could turn your past into what it really was, what your neshama really was in the past was the ark neshama of the whole world. Ela told us, Hashemayim V'Oretz, B'yom Hi Borom, B'Avraham. Hashem created the world with Avraham. His neshama somehow is the raw material for all neshamas. Is Avraham Avinu. At least what would become the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. Should have been the neshamas of the whole world, but at least the neshamas of all Klal Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu was revealed later in his life when Yitzchak was born. He revealed that he was able to reach a madrega that he could undo the past, that he could turn the past into zchuyas, that his averus could be turned into zchuyos. That's what was revealed to Avram Avinu when he was 100 years old. Not before, when he was 100 years old. So David HaMelech also, whose roots are in Avram Avinu, he did tshuva on the Mice of Bathsheba. But when Hashem forgave him, and he did tshuva his whole life, because he kept reaching higher levels of tshuva. So every time he reached a higher of a year Shemayim and close to Hashem, every time he reached a higher level, close to Hashem, he realized, lemafreya, he looked back and he looked at what he did, and he said, I have to do a new level of tshuva now, because his perspective was different. His whole life he did tshuva. Chatosi lenegdi tomi. David Melech says, my sin is in front of me all the time. The avera, the sin of Bathsheba, was in front of David's face all the time, and there were people who made sure that if he ever forgot one day that he would remember. And because he knew he had to do continually higher and higher and higher and higher levels of tshuva. When he came to a certain level, he thought, okay, maybe the whole thing should be taken away now. And because Boko told him, he says, yes, but not now. It won't be till later on after you die that retroactively the whole thing's going to be taken away. When did that take place? When Dovi wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, but Hashem wouldn't let him. He told him, your son Shlomo will build the Beis HaMikdash, but Dovi at least prepared the gates. He built the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash itself he wasn't allowed to build, but the gates of the Beis HaMikdash he was allowed to build. So when Shlomo HaMelech finished building the Beis HaMikdash, so he wanted to bring in the Aron from the Mishkan, bring in the Aron which had the Luchos HaBris, which had the Ten Commandments and the Sefer Torah, wanted to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, and every time he tried to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, the gates would close up and wouldn't let them bring in the Aron. Shlomo, his whole life he spent building the Beis HaMikdash. His Dovid's life, Shlomo's life, and they can't get the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo HaMelech was mispalel, and he davened, and he davened, and he davened, and nothing was helping. Nothing was helping. Till he said, he was mispalel, Al toshei pnei mishichecho, zochra lechazdei Dovid avdecho. He said, David, Shlomo was mispalel, Hashem, remember David your servant, remember the merits of David your servant. And the gates opened up. And they were able to bring in the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash. The Shekhinah came into the world, b'zchus David. Right? So at that time, the Gemara says, Sonei and Shel David, the faces of the enemies of David, who used to ask him every day in the Beis HaMikdash, I forgot, what's the punishment of adultery? Right? Those Sonim, those Oivim of David, when they saw this, says, Hushru Pneim, their faces turned black, like ravens, like the bottom of a silty pot, their faces turn black. They realize the whole reason we have Beis HaMikdash in the world is only because of David. You can't just say David was Hashem forgave him. Look, we'd have nothing without David. So that was the moment when Hashem revealed to David that the Hashem took away his past, that the past was like Kolohoya, like it didn't exist at Fakarat. All his Averis were then credited. David was sitting in Olam Haba, enjoying his Olam Haba. All of a sudden, a big freight train pulls up with 150,000 cars. He says, "What's that?" He says, "That's your new wealth." He says, "Where's that from?" He says, "That's from the Mice of Bathsheba. That's from Bathsheba. That's from the Aver of Bathsheba. Now it all turned into Zechuyah. So you're going to a new level of Olam Haba." All right, that in Mitzvah Hashem we'll discuss that at a different time, but. But you see, even David HaMelech, with all his gewaltige tshuva, with his koach tshuva, he wasn't zoicha to that madrig of tshuva till after he was, he wasn't credited, didn't receive the rewards of it till after he died. Once David HaMelech though brought it into the world, we can get it easier. We don't have to wait for that. David brought it into the world that a person can turn his past into completely flip it around, that it was kolohoya. Like it didn't exist. Just like Avram Avinu, when Yitzhak was born, was able to realize that really his past, he doesn't have to worry about his past anymore. The whole thing is turned to zchuyos. So to David HaMelech was brought that madrega into the world. All right, then we'll see Metz Hashem. I hope the course of the next few weeks we'll be able to see other parts of this tshuva. But what we have to understand, take away with us now, is the first level of tshuva. The first level of tshuva, which is a chesed Hashem. That just the thinking of what wouldn't an alcoholic do if he could just help, just just regret being an alcoholic, and all of a sudden he's clean. His wife forgives him, and his employer forgives him, and his children forgive him. And just thought that he regretted. That's the chesed of Hashem. That you just think the remorse and regret of having done something wrong, and already the Rebbeinu Hashem considers you like the Gemara of the Tzaddik. In the eyes of Hashem, you're considered a Tzaddik. The minute person is maharer, thinks in his heart that he's sorry for what he did, and he asks for Hashem for forgiveness, in Hashem's eyes, we are tzaddikim. Hashem's eyes, that's the power. That's the power of the heart. That's really the power of the heart. To get to the next madrega, you have to have the head also. But the power of the heart is it can turn a person in instantaneously from a rush of gomor to a tzaddik. Turn this off, we're going to do it.